It is arguably the number one sin in the world today. Some might think it's fornication or adultery. Some might think it's lying or stealing. But I think the number one sin in the world today that far too many people have embraced as a part of their lifestyle is greed. Avarice, the King James would call it. Street language, just greedy. Want way more than you need, and you always want more than you have. And that greedy spirit has been translated and moved over into the church world. We called it prosperity theology. You had to name it and claim it, call it and haul it, blab it and grab it. And the accumulation of wealth in this Western middle, upper middle class mentality and culture suggested that when you accumulated wealth, that somehow it indicated that you were blessed by God. And what we fail to understand, what we fail to realize is, first of all, nothing can be of God if it is not transferable across cultural lines. And we learned firsthand that having a bunch of stuff doesn't make you a better Christian, because while you drive a vehicle that's worth six figures, somebody is walking closer to the Lord who's waiting on a bus. You don't have to say amen. I know I'm right about it. And some of you were far closer to God in a studio apartment than you are in a three-bedroom house right now. And the challenge that we have is that while we want to emphasize and focus on the accumulation of wealth, God is concerned about our attitude towards wealth. Now, let me venture to say that whenever you start talking about wealth, treasure, resources, assets, those things that we have in life, and you start talking about it in church, the preacher is going where angels fear to tread. Because most people, when you say something about stuff and how I handle my stuff, they come up with reasons and justifications why they don't deal with money and why they don't give the way they should. Let me give you four very popular ideas as Master Control puts them up on the screen. First, people will say, I don't know how to give the way God wants. And some people will argue. They will argue as to whether or not you should give and then how you should give. So, for example, I know some people who love God who will argue and say, well, you know, preacher talks about tithing, and tithing is not New Testament. And they're absolutely right. Tithing is not New Testament. Jesus did not command us to tithe. Tithing was a principle that was practiced in the Bible going back to the patriarchs before the law was even given. It was a simple acknowledgement that everything they received in terms of the crop came from God. And they gave back to God what the Bible called first fruits, to basically said, whatever I get from God, I'm going to honor God by giving the first of what I get back to God in recognition that it came from God and my trust in God for everything else that's going to follow. Jesus said repeatedly that wherever the law commands you, grace demands that you go even further. Jesus said, you have heard it said, that if somebody asks you to go 1 mile, you go 1 mile. But I say unto you, if they say go 1 mile, go two. They said if somebody asks you for the coat on the, off your back, give them your coat. I say give them your coat and your shirt. Right? Because Jesus teaches us that grace always requires more than the law. Listen carefully, because grace always gives more than the law. Here's the second reason. I can't afford to give that much money to the church. Now, this idea of not having the ability to give is really not an issue of ability as much as it is priority. See, we spend where we want to spend, and we sacrifice where we want to sacrifice. And the truth of the matter is, there's a bunch of stuff that you don't think you can live without that you just don't want to live without. But when you're forced to live without it, you find out you can adjust pretty well. You sitting there with a $400 cable bill talking about, I can't live without cable. You better get you some rabbit ears. Come on now. I'm talking about them old ones where you had to put the aluminum foil up on the. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, because you'll find out that most news is bad news. And the stuff you thought you couldn't live without watching, man, when the storm came through and we were without power, that ice storm and Beryl and every other storm, you sat there, you got over it. Here's the third one that people will say. I'm not giving to the church because preachers are hustlers and they take all the money for themselves. Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah, look at that preacher, man. He's just taking that money and doing whatever he wants to do with it. Thank God that you are part of a church, number one, that believes in accountability and financial reports. Number two, thank God that you are part of a church that can demonstrate what we are doing with the resources that God provides for this church through you to touch the lives of hurting and dying men and women, boys and girls. We were on a church cruise, a lady walked up to me, and you know, I try to be nice on cruises, y'all, and trips, but it's amazing how many folk don't think the pastor needs a vacation, and so they want to take that as their opportunity to get there. I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time. Now I got you. I can talk to you. I'm like, no, you don't have me. I really... But this lady came to me. She said, Pastor, she said, I just want to encourage you. I want to thank God for you. I said, all right, thank you so much. I said, why is that? She said, because you're one of the few pastors that I know that you said something and you did it. And I said, well, I thank you, but what do you mean? She said, I heard you tell your church you was going to build that Family Life Center, and you did it. And I said, wasn't I supposed to do it? She said, yeah, you were supposed to. I said, but just because folk are supposed to do it, it's not always the case. They don't always do it, which is part of the fourth reason. I don't give because I was lied to and burned at my last church. Now, I've been part of a church that raised, you know, money for a building fund for 50 years. Man, nothing been built since, you know. I was a member of a church. We were buying a boiler because it was cold and the boiler system went out. And I was part of that church for 2 or 3 years. And every year in the wintertime, pastor talked about we got to get this boiler. And the ushers were standing back there with gloves on, coats, hats, scarves, and leg warmers. They used to serve the preachers hot coffee and hot chocolate in the pulpit. It was so cold in the church. And I'm like, when we going to get a heater? Can we get a space heater, Rev? Can we get, right? And so you said, man, I feel like I've been lied to. Here's what I need you to understand today. God wants you to not just say you love him, but he wants you to show that you love him. And the way we show it is by our actions, not simply by what we say. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to show you love God when you give. How to show love, show that you love God when you give. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. Those of you who are watching, you can go to goodhope.org or download our church app and you can get the fill in the blank outline there. There are many of you in here who don't feel loved if somebody does not give you a gift or a present or tangibilize the love that they say they have for you. In other words, don't say you love me and when it's time, give to somebody else and not give to me. I don't care if it's something handmade. Something needs to be shown to demonstrate your love. Now, if you're that kind of person and you want somebody to show that they love you by giving to you, how much more do you think God wants you to show your love to him? Three things I want you to see today around this idea of showing you love God when you give. Number one, you need to realize you've been given treasure by God. You've been given treasure by God. Matthew 6, verse 19 through 20, the New Living Translation says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal." Three times in verses 19, 20, and later you will see in verse 21, the word treasure appears. Thesaurus is the word in the original language where we get the word thesaurus from. And a thesaurus is literally a treasury of words, synonyms and antonyms for words. And the Bible says that we have a treasure and we need to make good use of the treasure that we have gleaned or gathered. Treasure speaks to that which has value or that which is worth something, that which is an asset. Now, typically when we think about our assets, we think about cars, cash, commodities, creature comforts. We think about houses. We think about investments. We call those our treasure. And God wants you to understand that first and foremost, the treasure that you have received from God. Look at A. Realize everything you have has been given to you by God. Everything you have has been given to you by God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning at verse 17. Don't ever say to yourself, "I got all this wealth by my own power and ability." Remember, the Lord your God is the one who gives you power to do these things. He does this because he wants to keep the agreement that he made with you and your ancestors as he is doing today. Go to 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. Let's read it together. "But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us." You've heard people say, I'm going to give to God, but they'll pray and ask God to bless them so they can give to him. You know, like somebody will pray for the Powerball numbers. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the person next to you. They'll pray, you know, and ask God, you know, to magically hit that pick six, you know, machine, so they can get those numbers. And they'll tell the Lord, "Now, Lord, you know if I hit this, you know, Lord, I'm going to give to you." But here's what we don't understand. Everything we have already came from God. So God says, "Why would I give you more when you haven't given me like you should out of what you already have?" You say it's because of the amount I have, and I say, no, it has nothing to do with the amount that you have. It has to do with the priority that you set. What is important to you? Everything you have has been given to you by God. The job that you have and the ability to work it has been given to you by God. But look at B. Realize everything you have still belongs to God. everything you have still belongs to God. Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, the ETRV translation of the scripture says, all their silver really belongs to me, and all the gold is mine. This is what the Lord all-powerful said. See, the mistake you make and the mistake people make is when it's time for the offering, they think they are giving God something that doesn't already belong to him. And the truth of the matter is, all of us are stewards. We are not owners. God is the owner. And we're not giving God anything that doesn't already belong to him. You hear people say things like, well, you know, I tithe and you ought to pay your tithes because you owe God 10%, and then you can give an offering on top of that. No, 10% doesn't belong to God. Can I tell you something? Everything belongs to God, including you. And God not only wants your possessions, he wants your person, but you can't give him your total person without giving him your possessions. He wants it all. That's why Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12 that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Look at Hosea chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. Let's read it together. She doesn't realize it was I who gave her everything she has. The grain, the new wine, the olive oil. I even gave her silver and gold, but she gave all my gifts to Baal. This is God talking about the children of Israel. And he says, I gave you everything, and then you turned around and gave to somebody else. You gave to another God. And my brothers and sisters, the sad fact is, I believe God could speak to the same, to many of us the same way today. That with all that he has blessed us with, we have been busy worshiping at another altar. Come on, at the altar of Dillard's and the altar of Macy's and the altar of Mac. Y'all getting real quiet on me. Let me see if I can knock on your altar, you know, right? But we're busy worshiping somewhere else and giving somewhere else and not giving all that we have and all that we got get from the Lord. That's why when God asks us to give, that's why when it's time to give, we are to give cheerfully, because we are giving out of what God has already blessed us with. Here's the second thing that I want to share with you. If you're going to show you love God when you give, number two, you must choose to invest your treasure wisely. You must choose to invest your treasure wisely. Go to verse 20, Matthew chapter 6. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. That phrase, store up, some translations translate that word lay up, means to store, to amass, to save. But here's what God wants you to understand. Your giving is not a gift. Your giving is an investment. And the question is, when you give, in what will you invest? Jesus challenges us when he says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Listen carefully, where moth can eat it, rust can corrupt it, or thieves can steal it. He says you have to learn where to invest. And you want to be a partner with God in the kingdom building work. 30 years ago, Amazon was launched by Jeff Bezos. 30 years ago, it was a startup. How many of us would go back 30 years now and take everything we could and buy some Amazon stock? Oh, man, Jeff Bezos would be my best friend. What? He'd be like, man, you sure believe in this vision. Oh, absolutely. Man, if I could go back and take whatever I got and buy all the stock I could, man, I'd buy Jeff Bezos out. Man, are you kidding me? Here's what God says. When you give to the kingdom of your time, your talent, your treasure, your temple, and your testimony, you are making a kingdom investment. And when you invest in the kingdom, you invest in that which can translate into heaven and that which cannot be destroyed on earth. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were telling me about a family member who had tragically died. And before they could get to the house, some of the family members had went over to the house and started rummaging through the house while the body was still warm. They were ransacking the house looking for valuables. Because here's the truth of the matter, when you die, you can't take any of that stuff with you. You have never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul behind it. Somebody had all of your stuff before you got it, and somebody's going to have it after you're gone. And I told him, I said, well, I said, the lesson to learn is whatever you want people to have, give it to them before you die. Jesus says, store up the things where you invest in that you value the most. And you know what we value the most as the people of God? You know what we're supposed to value the most? That which will make it into glory. That's why when we talk about making the main thing the only thing, we focus on helping people who need Jesus to know people, know Jesus, and helping people who know Jesus to grow in Jesus. That's why when I tell you, you are not here to make me a big preacher, we're here to help you be the biggest and best Christian you can possibly be, because I understand that my investment in you is the only investment that's going to make it into glory. Everything else will fade away. And so you might think you're spending money, but Jesus says you're not spending, you're investing. And the last thing you want to do is invest in something that doesn't last. So he says, don't store up your treasures here on earth. Store up your treasures in heaven. Store up your treasures in that place in heaven where the things that you have invested in will be able to stay secure. One of the booming businesses that have come in the last generation of storage facilities and storage units. And they're basically spaces where people can keep the junk they're too attached to and they can't or don't want to throw away. Oh, yeah, I mean, don't think about it because you'll get frustrated. You've already paid for the items that are in that storage unit 4 or 5 times over every time you pay the rent. You know, if you had gotten rid of it and bought it brand new. Now, I understand if it's family heirlooms, antiques, or that kind of stuff, right? A lot of people lost stuff that they put into storage at the beginning because they put it in storage units and or containers that were not climate controlled. So they put valuable clothing, for example, in those storage units and came back and held up coats and jackets that looked like Swiss cheese, right? Or they went in there and found items that had rusted and had corrupted, or maybe somebody went in their storage unit and they stole those things. And so now new storage units make sure that they are secure. Even though you have access, they make sure that those units are secure. The building is secure. And the other thing they want is to make sure that the storage unit is climate controlled. That means it maintains a certain temperature. So you don't have to worry about moth and bugs and all of those things. If you didn't bring them, you won't find them. My brothers and sisters, I want to submit to you today that when Jesus says, store up your items in heaven where neither moth, rust, or thieves can get in touch with them, that God wants you to store not in something climate controlled, but something Christ controlled. So what about your treasure? Look at James chapter 5. I want to go down to verse 3. The New Living Translation says, your gold and silver have become worthless. The very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. The treasure you have accumulated will stand as evidence against you on the day of judgment. Can you imagine all of your stuff lining up to testify against you? All them shoes that you could only wear once or twice. Folk walking around with no shoes, and you got a closet full of shoes. Shoes that you only wore one time, still got tags on it. Can you imagine when all them shoes stand up to testify against you? Don't get quiet on me. Can you imagine when all them suits stand up to testify against you? All them outfits stand up to testify against you? That's what James says. James says the treasure you have accumulated will stand as evidence against you on the day of judgment. Why? Because you have been investing on earth instead of investing in that which will go to heaven. Luke 12:21, let's read it together. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. It simply means that you are to use all you have to the glory of God and invest in the kingdom work of God. Here's the third and final thing. Number three, you need to realize the placement of your treasure indicates the passion of your heart. The placement of your treasure indicates the passion of your heart. Wherever your treasure is, Matthew 6:21, there the desires of your heart will also be. Where your treasure is. God says, I don't have to ask you to tell me where your heart is. I can see where your heart is based on where your treasure goes. I love you, but I give to somebody else across town. I love you, but I invest in somebody else. I love you, but I give to somebody else. And when I give to them, I take away from you. Somebody said romance without finance becomes a nuisance. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. You can't say you love me and give to something or somebody else. Because where your treasure is, Jesus says, that's where your heart is. Now, you've heard erroneously said that money is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil. Money is amoral. There is no moral value to money. It is a tool. It is an instrument. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money. 1 Timothy chapter 6, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And so watch what the writer of Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Here's the challenge that we have when we're trying to combat this sin of greed. Greed is inexhaustible because greed always wants what it doesn't have, and it wants what it doesn't need. And there's always something out there that you don't have, and there's always something out there that you don't need. So you can't defeat greed if you let greed run unchecked in your life. Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Wherever, whoever, whatsoever, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Now, that word for heart is an interesting word. It's the Greek word cardia, right? It's where we get cardiac from, and cardiology from, right? And it speaks to that human organ physically, but spiritually it refers to that which is at the center of our life, that which we deem to be essential for life and living. And he says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. Imagine going to the doctor to get your heart checked. Initially, that doctor's going to probably pull out a stethoscope. They'll check your pulse. They'll check your lungs, and they'll check your heart. They want to hear how your heart is beating. Here's what God says. God says, when I want to check your heart, he says, I don't put a stethoscope on your heart. I put a stethoscope on your wallet and on your purse. When I want to see how your heart is beating, God says, how your heart is beating for me, I put a stethoscope on where your money is. I put a stethoscope on your checkbook. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. The destination of your treasure indicates the devotion of your heart. The location of your treasure indicates the love of your heart. The placement of your treasure indicates the passion of your heart. Don't say you love God and then give to God as an afterthought. You don't have to say amen. I know I'm right about it. Don't talk about how much you love the Lord. He heard your cry. And then you looking to give a crippled dollar bill to God when the offering basket comes. No. Don't tell God how much you love him. And you won't even give him a tip. You tip folk more than you give to God. You're going to give at least 15%, 18%, 20%, especially if you think you got to represent our people and don't want to look bad when you tip. Preach, Cofield. But you come in here to the kingdom of God where lives are being changed, where your life is being changed. And then want to give God the leftovers, but talk about I love the Lord. Your heart is where your treasure is. If your treasure is invested on earth, then your heart is on earth. If your treasure is invested in heaven, then your heart is in heaven. If your treasure is invested in things, then your heart is in things. If your treasure is invested in people, then your heart is in people. Based on how much you give to what you give, how much love do you really have for God? See, Jesus challenges us to make a decision. To make sure, as Paul says in Philippians, that our God is not our appetite, but that we set our sights on the realities of heaven. So, there's a song that was written some years ago. It was a prayer set to music by legendary songwriter Margaret DeRoe. Title of the song was Give Me a Clean Heart. Give me a clean heart, Lord, that I might serve thee. Lord, fix my heart so that I can be used by you, because I'm not worthy of all of these blessings. God, give me a clean heart so that I may serve you. But my brothers and sisters, I want you to change that prayer today. I want you to change that prayer to make sure that your heart is in more alignment with God's heart. I want you to say today, Lord, give me a giving heart. See, because it's when I give that I am more like God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And when we give to the kingdom work of God, you talking about what you would do 30 years ago if you could meet Jeff Bezos and invest in Amazon? What will you do today to invest in God's kingdom program and be a partner with God in changing the lives of people? Because here's what I'm going to tell you. When you get to glory, the shoes will be left behind. The dresses, the suits, the pants, the outfits will be left behind. The cars, the cash will be left behind. The houses will be left behind. The vacation home will be left behind. The secret stash is going to be left behind. The only thing that's going to transfer from here to glory is what you invest in the kingdom program of God. We are here today because people made a kingdom investment before you got here. There are people who invested in the Center for Hope, who gave in support of the building of the Family Life Center, who never lived to walk in it, because they invested in a future that they would not see. Who will be blessed tomorrow because of the investment that you make today? And are you willing to make an investment for the children and the children to come who will never know your name, but you will know theirs when you get to glory? Because they will be evidence of the kingdom investment that you've made. Father, we thank you and we bless you for today. We thank you, God, for your word. And I pray now that somebody who has heard from you has been challenged to think about where they invest what they have and how to make a greater investment in the kingdom work. Pray that good seed has found good ground, good seed has been watered, and that you bring forth the increase. It's in Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise today. Reverend Bell is going to come now and extend the invitation to discipleship. I want to tell you something about giving that I've learned firsthand in my own life, and I've seen it happen not hundreds of times, thousands of times in my 40 plus years of preaching. You can't give right and not give more of yourself to God for right living. When you give right, it causes you to focus your life in a way that you don't focus your life when you separate your possessions from your person. When you start focusing and giving right like God has commanded you to do, you can't afford all of the superfluous nonsense. Like, it's amazing how you stop sinning when you can't afford to sin anymore. No, I'm trying to tell you what Jesus loves. Some of that discretionary money. Come on now, y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of that side hustle money, some of that put aside that nobody knows about money. Some folks used to call it mad money. Y'all real quiet. Hey, hello, mic check. One. Y'all like, man, he about to talk about my little stash. I'm saying to you, when you give it to God, when you give it to God, you will discover you will give even more of yourself to God. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. So when your money's going over here to some funny stuff, that's where your heart is. And the Lord said, don't come in here pretending like you love me on Sunday and my treasure's going somewhere else Monday through Saturday, or maybe just Friday and Saturday. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Here's what I want you to do for me. I want you to think for a moment, every head bowed, every eye closed, before I ask you to stand. Those of you who are watching, I want you to bow your heads, and I want you to think about that call and command. Another prayer set to music, I Surrender All. Typically, when we sing this song, we think about it in the context of salvation and giving our soul to the Lord. Or maybe we think about it in the context of problems and we want to give our problems to God. When the Lord wants all of us. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That means everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly, I'm giving it all to God. I'm surrendering it all to God. My cars, my cash, my commodities, my creature comforts, my home, I'm surrendering it all to God. Because it all belongs to him, because I belong to him. And so I want you to just think about, what is it that God wants you to surrender to him right now? What is it that you've been holding on to? What is it that you've been investing in someplace else other than the kingdom work? And I want to encourage you today to say, I surrender it all to you, God. Next level living requires next level giving. Somebody said you can't beat God giving, but you need to pay up front. Because God has already blessed you beyond what you can ask, think, or imagine. Come on, everybody who can, stand on your feet as Reverend Bell comes. And as he prepares to offer the invitation, I want everybody to sing, I Surrender All. Come on, sing it to God.
I surrender all.
Come on, sing it to the Lord today. Tell the Lord,
I surrender all.
God, I'm going to give you all of the stuff, all of the stuff that I've acquired, accumulated. God, I'm going to give it all to you. I'm going to help somebody right now. Let me confess for a minute. So I've got a lot of clothes that I've accumulated over the years, various sizes. And my wife is kind of OCD about order. And so one of the sources of conflict was my stuff and her order. And one day, man, I was so upset because she doesn't move her stuff. She moves my stuff. And I don't move her stuff, but she moves my stuff. And she wants to straighten out my stuff. And so it hit me one day how emotional it was for me. Because some of that stuff represents, and I'm trying to help somebody today, some of that stuff represents success and failure. like when I was down at that size and then had surgery and I'm no longer that size, and but I'm determined to get back to that size one day. Now, I'm not doing what I used to do to get to that size, but I'm still getting back there one day. I'm trying to keep hope alive, y'all. I'm trying to get back there. Anybody understand what I'm saying? And I'm like, man, you know, I got suits, you know, 46s and, you know, a couple of 44 athletic cut. You know what I mean? But man, you know, that six pack is a keg now, you know, it's. And so we got a little issue going on now. So she said, listen, I need, and she does it very gently now. She understands that it's emotional. It's not physical. It's emotional. We need, can we go through some of your stuff over here? And I was like, nah, we don't need to go through it. Just go on and give it away. Go on and give it away. I just go on and give it away. Right. I just give it away. Just give it away. I don't even want to go through it. Just give it away. Give it away. Just give it away. Right. Here's what I'm telling you. It hit me that I'm holding on to stuff, and I'm not holding on for the right reason. I'm holding on out of trauma and out of emotions when I could bless somebody with all of this stuff. Right? Now, y'all think I'm talking about clothes and my closet and my bedroom that's become half closet. But I'm really talking about anything that you're holding on to that you just won't let go of. And God says, you got to surrender that, y'all. We got to let it go. We got to let it go. If I get back down to that size one day, praise God, I'll go shopping again. But I ain't got there in 10 years. Let me go on and bless somebody else with it, right? Because we've got to learn how to live in the now and not be stuck in our past to the point that we can't enjoy our today and get ready for what God has for us in our tomorrow. Come on, I'm trying to set somebody free today. And your wife didn't tell me anything and your husband didn't tell me anything. I'm saying when you go home, you need to say, come on, let some stuff go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Look at somebody and tell them, let them go. Let it go. Let it go. Look at somebody else. You looked at the wrong person. Look at the other person. Tell them, let it go. 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 Let it be a blessing to somebody else. Let somebody else be blessed by it. Let somebody else be blessed by it. Come on, let's hear the invitation.